Welcome back to the Punish Podcast, the official podcast of punishbacklog.com. I'm Amanda Tien, she, her, and I'm an editor at the Punish Backlog. And I have a cold, so if you hear me sniffling, I'm sorry. Today's episode is another exciting edition of our fantasy gaming series, where it's our version of fantasy football, but we draft video games and their Metacritic scores and try to get the best overall team at the end of the year. This is going to be a really fun episode, which is why I chugged some DayQuil and some hot water, and I didn't want to miss it. I'm joined by all the players in this year's season, including our illustrious league commissioner. So let's have everyone introduce themselves with their names, pronouns, and answer this question that's fresh on my mind from our retro games episode, which was our last episode. Really enjoyed it, which is when you go into an arcade, what's your go-to game? So like I said, I'm Amanda, she, her, and I'm a skee ball girl. Like I'll just gun it. I love it. Yeah. I just want to make balls go bang. Maybe I'll have to cut that part out from the episode.
No way. You cannot cut that out.
Absolutely not. That is staying in the episode.
That's in there. There we go. Perfect. There we go. On to the next person.
I'm Allison. I'm she, her. I'm a writer. My team name is RIP Switch One, and my favorite arcade game is also Skee Ball. Make balls go bang.
Make balls go bang!
I'm Sam Martinelli. I'm an editor. He, him. I also go for the balls in terms of pop a shot. Just start shooting some basketball. I try to do some sky hooks like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and throw the ball into other games. It actually hits the skee ball as well every time I try. So that's my...
You never get kicked out of arcades?
Well, this one's in Chinatown, so nobody okay. asks questions. Nobody says anything. Yeah. But no, if it's a video game, I go for Turtles in Time. Ninja Turtles. That's what I do.
That's a good pick. Hi, I'm David Silbert. Pronouns he, him. Also an editor here at the Punish Backlog. And my go-to arcade game is easily Galaga. That is one that, like, I'm not much of, like, an old man gamer kind of persona. But when I get in the arcade and I see a Galaga machine, it's go time. I'm not good at it. I have a friend who's very good at it and knows all the ins and outs of it. And my girlfriend, her dad has a Galaga arcade machine at their house. So whenever
Sick.
I visit,
oh my God.
Whenever I visit for Thanksgiving or Christmas, I'm going right to the Galaga machine.
Man, that was going to be my answer, David. Zach Colanello, he, him, also a contributor here at the Punish Backlog. Definitely that was going to be my answer. So I got to switch it up. I'll go with NFL Blitz or NBA Jam, but Blitz is the one that I can probably hold my own at a little bit better. NBA Jam, it's awesome. I love it. They're both, I wish we had games like that. On console, you know, I've talked about that before. Where'd they go? I don't know. They're all at the arcade still, but that's where I'm going to go if I had my pick. Gary, over to you.
Yeah. Gary Wilson, also contributor for Punish Backlog, he, him, representative for Team Gary's Glorious Games. My go-to arcade game, I am an arcade fanatic. To this day, I'm still hunting down a pristine Spy Hunter machine to own in my home. But you will specifically find me in the pinball area. I love pinball. The Black Knight 2000 machine is my white whale of kind of arcade things. I have put on the high score at various arcades in the Addams Family machine. I don't know why. I'm real good with that one. But basically anything pinball that is three flipper, you'll find me at. Two flipper and I don't get along too well. I end up tilting the machine.
I loved all of those. Recall? Yeah, exactly. I was like, that's getting into some deep pinball lore. I'm like, wow, neat. Awesome. What do you think of the like, do you have a preference of... You know what I'm talking about?
No.
No?
No, I do not.
Yeah, nobody did. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. I think I'm trying to talk about the mechanism where you force the like, ball shooty thing out.
Oh, like, gotcha. Do I, like, plunger style or launch style?
Yes. That's gotcha. What I, yeah, yeah. Was that that's not the official term? Was the thing? That wasn't it?
Unfortunately not. If it doesn't have a plunger launch, I'm not here for it. Not to say that, you know, trigger launch is fine, but there is just something so classic about yanking back totally. On a plunger, feeling the springs go with you, and then actually feeling like you can control the ball a little bit on, you know, how much power you want in the launch and things like that. I've played a lot of pinball.
Exactly. Balls go bang, right?
Balls go bang.
It all goes back to balls go bang. So today, there's no draft in today's episode. This is a Q1 check-in where we'll talk about the games themselves and then how they affected our team, as well as what's next for the league and the season, and a rule overview, which I encourage David to help me with since I have a hard time with rules. But I'm really excited, and let's get into it. So we're going to get into the games that have come out so far that we've drafted. We're going to go chronologically and discuss them. As we go through, I invite my fellow competitors to share if they played this game, if they think the score made sense, or if it surprised or disappointed them. And that discussion is open to everyone, not just the person who drafted it. And I'll start right now that we're recording this on Sunday, March 30th, so there may be a few fluctuations in score by the time this comes out. So again, I'm going to go through the games. Did you play this? What did you think of it, of the score, etc. So the first game that came out was January 16th was Blight Chimera. Metacritic scores currently at 79, drafted by Allison. Did anybody play this? Any thoughts on this game?
No.
Yeah. Well, guess that 79 checks out then. So January 22nd, Ender Magnolia Bloom in the Mist, a very pretty moody side scroller, came out at 84, drafted by Zach. I know, David, you had played the demo of this. Did you get around to the full one?
Yeah, so I reviewed an early access code, which updated to the full game. So I was lucky enough to have access without necessarily being on the hook for coverage. I still intend to get something out, but I've kind of been playing it and it hasn't quite grabbed me as much as the original did. And I'm not quite sure why it is. I know I said the original Ender Lilies reminded me a lot of Hollow Knight. And I'm getting like similar vibes, but it's just like I'm not as pressed. I think part of it is there's so many Metroidvanias out there. Shout out to our best Metroidvanias list on the site. But like I recently came off a playthrough of Nine Souls, and that was like transformative. Like that was maybe the best Metroidvania I've played since Hollow Knight or Ori, Will of the Wisps. So I don't know. It's just like the genre has gotten so good.
Saturated
and also competitive and bloated. So it's hard to really stand out, but it's good so far. It's, I think the 84 checks out, but yeah, could be not the 90 plus if anyone's looking for that beautiful gem.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to play it. It dropped, I think, at like an 89, and I was like, we are cruising. The original had an 86. I was feeling good, keeping an eye on it that week, and then all of a sudden just trickled down a little bit. There's like one guy that put a crappy review. I was like cursing this guy. does he know what's happening to my fantasy team? No, of course not. But it still looks like it could be good. I'm with you, David, though. There's somebody out there, Nine Souls on my list, probably a little higher. So maybe someday, but you know, it's not doing me too many favors with an 84, just kind of right in the middle there.
Yeah, speaking of another game that didn't do anyone any favors, February 11th, Sid Meier's Civilization 7 came out on Sam's team. Metacritic score of 79, which honestly kind of shocking to me because it's sort of its own genre. Do you have feelings about that, Sam?
I thought this was like my safe pick. Like,
yeah.
I think it was my second overall pick. I think it was like, or my third. It was definitely a game where I'm not really much of a Civilization guy. It's just not for me. But like everyone I know who loves Civilization plays the hell out of every single one that gets released. And so this one comes out and I don't know, even like the big Civ fans are like, yeah, it's fine. It's okay. They kind of reacted to it the way that like Sonic fans reacted to Sonic Superstars or like if, like the new Super Mario Brothers games. Like this is, it's fine. It scratches an itch, but it's not really special at all.
Yeah. I am not a Civ player myself, but I have a number of friends who are big Civ people. And basically what I got out of them about this one as well was that it just sort of came. Like, it doesn't feel different enough from 6. It doesn't feel profoundly interesting in any sort of way. And the changes that they did implement aren't hitting the way they want to. I did have one friend say that they would prefer to play Civ Revolution, which came out in the 360 many, many years ago. And that is like the black sheep of Civilization fans. So take that for what you will.
Yeah.
I was going to say I dodged a bullet because I was going to take this right.
Yeah, you were real mad about it, Zach. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we're going to get to my next game and didn't work out either.
I don't know. I feel like this is also, honestly, a surprisingly low score for February 18th, Avowed. Came out, Metacritic score of 80. It was on Zach's team. And Sam led a great group conversation piece on our site, punishbaglog.com, with Gary and also Clint Morrison from our site, where you guys talked about playing Avowed. And it sounds like you guys were really enjoying it. I'm honestly surprised that it's only an 80.
Yeah, I don't know what people who reviewed this game expected they were getting. This is exactly what the game they pitched to be. This does not deserve an 80. It deserves to be, you know, maybe not tremendously higher than an 80, especially this year, where it feels like a lot of review scores are a little bit more depressed and on the kind of the lower side of things coming from all the different outlets. But this is an 85 to a 90 game if I've ever played one. Like, it's hit every mark.
Come on, Gary, yeah. Get a Metacritic credential then. Come on, help me out here, Gary. Come on.
I mean, I just finished this game last week, and I mean, it's not saying that much right now, but it is right now pretty firmly my favorite game of this year. And, you know, Zach, we both kind of screwed each other because as soon as you picked Avowed, I'm like, man, I should have picked that one. So we both ended up here. It doesn't seem like it mattered much, but yeah, there is a trend I've noticed with a lot of critics, and it's not, I actually don't like being the person to criticize critics just because like they might feel differently about things. But I think as much as you can, you should try to judge a game by what it is and what it's trying to do, not by what you want it to be. And I've noticed this with like Indiana Jones and the Great Circle as well, where it did get, I think like an 86 or an 87. It still did pretty well, but everyone's like, oh man, I wish this was just kind of like Uncharted or Tomb Raider. I'm like, okay, but it's not. It's not those games. You have those games. Play those if you want them.
And it was now, never, it never claimed to be those games.
It very clearly, like, all of the marketing said it wasn't going to be. And Avowed seemed like one of those things where you might have seen the first trailer and go, oh, this is like Skyrim. And it's like, not entirely. Like, it's like Skyrim in that it's a first-person, primarily fantasy RPG. But you spend most of this game, man, like, you can have like a spell book and a gun in the same set and
sick,
like, but also like you're not sneaking around all that much. You're mostly opening chests. That's like 20, that's like 30% of the game, to be honest. It's just like you hear some kind of like twinkling noise in the background. It's like, oh, I gotta open something around here.
I cannot tell you the amount of times I've heard like a vague twinkle while I'm walking along a cliff's edge and I'm like, well, gotta swan dive off this cliff. There's probably something below it.
You gotta take a leap of faith. I hear it in my real life now. It's like when you like the Tetris effect, where like you play too much Tetris and you just see like Tetris blocks in your dreams. Like, I just hear the Avowed like chest noise tingle all the time.
Can you pitch Avowed to me, like what it is then? Like the things that it's not. I got it. It's not like Skyrim. So if somebody's listening to this and they're like, yeah, I still don't really know what Avowed is. Like, what would you tell them? Like, what is good about it?
You want me to take this one, Gary? Do you want to?
I'll give like a quick boiler, which is just, this is, I hate to say this is exactly what it is, but it is truly exactly what it is. This is the Outer Worlds team making an Oblivion. Like, this is the team that is very good at smaller spaces, more kind of constrained maps, zone-based things like that, but applied to a fantasy setting. Like, it is that sort of kind of focused, more kind of streamlined idea of what a first person fantasy game should be, as opposed to the big sprawling nature of like a Skyrim or something like that.
I would say that's a great description of it. The one thing I would add is the most important difference between Avowed and any Elder Scrolls game is that the combat is good.
Yes. And there's companions.
Nice.
Yeah, and the companions are kind of like Mass Effect-y, kind of like you do some like missions with them, but you know, they have some complicated past that you learn about only by trying to talk to them more. Like, you have to opt into that a lot.
You know, it's one of my big complaints with a lot of the Elder Scrolls games. You know, I love Oblivion. I did not love Skyrim all that much, and Skyrim really falls into this problem. Is that you feel like the most important thing in the world, but that agency doesn't really hit the world in any sort of way. Like, you see kind of like events happen around you that you're kind of like a fulcrum or a focal point for, but like your impact on the world weirdly feels small. this is not that. You are a small part of a sprawling world where you feel like you have a lot of agency in the world around you. That is kind of reflected amazingly in character interactions and the world itself and things like that. Like, there are no decisions in an Elder Scrolls game. You know, you're just kind of going, do thing, and come back. You know, this is very much a game where those decisions do actually matter, and you can shape your experience that way.
Tight. I love that. Actually, which leads me into the next game, which totally makes sense. Also came out on the same day, part one, February 18th, Lost Records, Bloom and Rage. This is a two-parter. Part two got delayed till April 15th. Lost Records, part one, is currently a 74, but we're planning for any games where it's sort of like two-parters. I know that David, I mentioned we're going to average the scores. So the score could go up. Allison, it's on Allison's team. But I know that David also played part one. I don't know, Allison, if you played it too. And these are games, I presume, where decisions matter a lot. Because is this Don't Nod?
This is Don't Nod. I think the 74 is pretty accurate. I mean, I've played most of part one. I still need to finish it. And I'm just kind of... I didn't realize, actually. Was that a recent thing where part two got delayed?
Yeah, a lot of times they've been saying March 15th, but it's now officially April 15th, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense, because I assume that the second tape was actually live for everyone. Like, I have access to it, because transparently I'm reviewing the game for the site.
You got more time!
I have more time, yeah, and I assume there's an embargo up, because I haven't seen any scores for part two. So I'm not going to even talk about it, I haven't even gotten to it, so that's okay. But part one, it's kind of like... It feels like Life is Strange, but not as good. Like, it just feels like the performances aren't as good. There's kind of uncanny valley going on. The writing's not as sharp. And that's kind of saying something, because Life is Strange didn't have, like it wasn't, like, the most immaculately written or you know, it had issues to its story, but it's still, like, the emotions, the rawness of it all came through and was something beautiful. Whereas this game... I don't know. It just feels like a shell. Like, the whole, for those who don't know what it's about, it's kind of like a bunch of childhood friends who kind of became friends due to weird circumstances. Some big event happened, which is what part one builds up to. It's like, what is this big event? Like, you know, decades later, they reconvene to discuss this big thing that happened. And yet you're wondering throughout part one, like, well, what is this event? And then part two is kind of the aftermath. Okay, well, now, and you know, what happens now? And it's a really cool setup, and I think it's an interesting way to do the episodic structure. And it's refreshing that it's kind of part one, part two, as opposed to, like, the five episode Life is Strange structure, which would just, you'd have to, like, play it a bit, put it down, come back weeks later, you know, pick it back up again. So I think it flows a little better in this way. But it's just, like, mechanically, it's just not, I haven't felt myself, like, really pulled into the narrative in the way that I would have liked. Like, there are just odd oddities that pull me out time and time again. And that's a shame, because Donut makes tremendous games, but it just feels like, I don't know what the deal was with this game, but it just felt like a little bit off.
Yeah. Hear that. Did you play this at all, Allison?
No, I was actually waiting for part two to come out. When I had drafted this, I had no idea it was two parts. But I'm still interested in it. I mean, 74 feels fairly solid, not for Fantasy League, but
but for the world of gaming, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah,
and it also might be, I think, that the Life is Strange sort of bigger picture theme, like that whole vibe, they've been really milking that cash cow for a while, and maybe it might just be coming down. Another cash cow, actually, the next game that came out February 20th was Like a Dragon, Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii, which I think Gary felt pretty, this is a Gary draft, I think he felt pretty decent on it, but it came out to a 79. How are we feeling about that?
I think this is a pretty similar thing to Avowed, which is, again, I'm not really sure what people who, you know, kind of reviewed it were expecting out of it. A lot of the lower score reviews I saw for Pirate Yakuza were kind of sad that it wasn't as big a game, which, dang, come on. This was always a side game. But I think this is also very emblematic of the, I think this year, good games, because it's a good game. It's not a great game, but it is a good game. Where in years past, that would be an 83, 84, 85. This year, that's a 79, 80, 81. And now I'd also argue that Avowed is not just a good game, it is a great game. This is in the good game category. So in this more depressed year, a 79 does make sense. It's a good game, but it's not a great game.
Totally fair.
Like a butt, pirate Yakuza in a butt. Gary, take that, 79, that sucks.
The pause there was really impactful.
So like, I got this. Saying, I'm going to crush this dude. I'm going to just ruin him right now.
I'm about to ruin his whole life.
I'm about to destroy this man. Here's the word butt four times in a row.
Gary's going
to
be sick when he hears what I got to say.
Absolutely roasting, Gary. You're never going to recover. Except you recovered quite well with your next game. Whoops.
Yeah, he did recover with the next game that came out just a week later, February 28th. Monster Hunter Wilds came out, which was a passion pick for Gary and also a great intellectual choice. It came out to an 89.
Yeah, number one pick. And I was right. These games don't review badly, even when it is not one that is as beloved as the ones that came before it. I've played it to completion. I'm in the end game. I'm in the end game grind. It is amazing. It is a fantastic goddamn game.
I have a question about this game. As someone who knows very little about Monster Hunter, not to take this away from you, Amanda, but I got to ask. I've heard some fans of the series are like they like Wilds. They think it's a good game, but the game takes away some of the friction of earlier series games.
It definitely does that.
Do you think that like dilutes the experience at all, or is that something that like they made it? From my understanding, is they made it better for people who have not like if I wanted to play this game, it would be easier for me to get into Wilds than into Monster Hunter Rise or something.
Absolutely.
Do you think that's good or bad or neutral or nothing?
It is. It's not that it's nothing, and it's not that it's neutral either. I am of the opinion that games that are getting bigger, you know, ones that are reaching new audiences, that are hitting more platforms, that are expanding their reach, should shave off some of those edges. You know, I've heard a lot of people griping about, especially Wilds, the continuous nature of the world. You know, Monster Hunter World, which came out for the PS4 and the previous Xbox generation, you know, they did away with the zone-based combat of previous Monster Hunters, where you are going to one area, kind of one map, but each part of the map is its own little box. You know, it's like 1 through 13 or 14, depending on the map. And when you were going in between each box, you had to go through a loading zone. That went away with World, which was great and was the right choice. You know, we don't need this zone-based kind of movement anymore. We have machines strong enough to do that. But in Wild, they took that to the next step of interconnecting each map now as well. So if you want to go from the plains to the forest to the fire basin, you can do that. You could just hop on your little thing and ride there. A lot of people don't like that. They don't like that, you know, the world now feels seamless but smaller because it is seamless instead of being like, oh, I'm going to this area. You know, things like sharpness and affinity, which are two kind of things in Monster Hunter, don't really matter for the first like 20 hours of Wilds until it starts really mattering later on. Wilds has the problem of it being two games, the first game being about 20 hours or so called Low Rank, and it is easy as hell. It is an exceptionally easy time. You barely have to really interact with some of the systems. You could just breathe through it. Once you get to High Rank, which kind of comes after the first 15 hours, it becomes the Monster Hunter game that people want, where it is, you know, big. You got to think about your equipment. You got to think about gems. You got to think about things like that. So I think there are a lot of longtime fans who are unhappy that a good half of the game doesn't meet them at their skill level. Instead, it is, you know, again, pretty easy. But also, I'm not sure what those folks expected, because it is they've also played 1,000 hours of Monster Hunter. There's no such thing as the start of a Monster Hunter game that will be challenging for them. So
more like Monster Hunter butts, am I right?
Got him.
Got him. Yep, and that's great because Zach is he had the next game that came out, which was March 4th, Two Point Museum, a game I truly don't know much about. I think it might be like for children. I'm not sure. It scored at an 85. I doubt this is a game you could pour hundreds of hours into. But has anyone played Two Point Museum or have any thoughts about Two Point Museum?
The Cozy Game community says it's really, really good.
They do. Ooh,
yeah. What? Like better than Two Point Hospital on campus.
What does it mean to be Two Point? What does it mean?
I don't know.
I think it's just the series.
Nobody knows.
Nobody. It's a secret. It's provocative. Yeah. Shh. Did you want to try it, Zach, now that you're living the dad life?
Oh, yeah. I do really want to give it a shot. I haven't played the others in the series, but I felt like this was a pretty safe bet. And hey, look at that. It paid off. It's my high score, 85 so far. Yeah. It's a man.
It seems like every museum I've ever gone to, pretty mid.
Yeah. For sure. Oh, we need to get you into some better museums. This is the description on the internet says, curate and manage incredible museums. Explore to discover amazing artifacts. Design and refine the layout. Keep staff happy. You know, it kind of looks like a sort of a Zoo Tycoon energy, which I don't hate.
Yeah.
Now I kind of want to play Two Point Museum.
Oh, I've been keeping an eye on it. All the reviews are pretty solid. And like you said, it's in that same vein, those Zoo Tycoons, Roller Coaster Tycoons that I used to love. And the funny thing to me is it's like only on PS5, which I do not own. And it's like, we're doing management sims. I couldn't scratch that itch on
PS5. I know. But, seems, you know, kind of like a mismatch, yeah.
But no, it looks good. I think it's one of those that people just kind of get into. And to your point, like, I feel like you could sink a lot of hours into it because there's a lot of things to do. And it's kind of that goofy cartoon style that's got some fun quirks and little, you know, not quests, but like things to a lot of achievements and objectives and all kinds of stuff. So it looks fun. I'm definitely interested in giving it a shot once I get that PS5. That's the first thing I'm going to get. Load up that
PS5. Or a PC or an Xbox X Series X. Wouldn't that be hilarious that you're like, you're going to get an Xbox Series X to be like, I gotta play Two Point Museum. Like, I just can't stop thinking about it.
It'll probably be on Switch too.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like it would be a slam dunk on Switch too.
For sure.
All right. The next game, which I haven't played, but I am very excited to, came out on March 6th, Split Fiction. It was my third pick. And it came out to 91. David reviewed it for the site. I haven't gotten to it, just been a busy few months. But tell me, these last, does 91 feel like the right score for this game, David?
Yeah, I gave it a 9.3. So I actually was slightly higher than the average among critics. Yeah, it's a sublime game. It's more Haze-like goodness, right? If you've played It Takes Two, or if you played A Way Out, or if you played even Joseph Farah's previous game, which he directed, Brothers, A Tale of... Oh, I'm going to...
No, there's a Way Out, and then there's also Brothers.
Well, yeah, Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
A Tale of Two Sons. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, so he directed that game in a previous studio. Then he came and founded Haze Light Studios, and then they did A Way Out, which is the prison break game.
There we go. Yeah, yeah.
Then they did It Takes Two, which is the two divorcees going through it, or soon to be divorcees.
Should be divorcees.
Yeah, soon to be, at least at the beginning of the game. And in Split Fiction, it's two writers, one who writes fantasy and one who writes sci-fi, and they get entangled in each other's worlds, and there is a comically even evil villain that they have to kind of fight back against, and they're getting thrown between all kinds of different inspired worlds from... you know, your dragons to your cyberpunk worlds and motorcycle chases and all that good stuff. So it's a really fun game. Lots of variety. I said it in my review, but you really can't say much about it without giving away like a lot of the fun moments that just make it fun. The thing about Haze-like games is the storytelling still leaves a little something to be desired, but it's definitely a step up from It Takes Two. I actually like cared about the characters and their outcome. So it was a joy to play through, and as always, it's really accessible because if just one person owns the game, the person they're playing with can play for free via friend pass or whatever it's called. Yeah, really awesome game and easy front runner for game of the year so far.
Yay, that's awesome. It is currently the high score, so that feels nice. Yippee!
I'm just surprised it was your third pick.
I'm surprised it was also, nobody, none of us were, picking it.
Oh, no, I was going to get it, but didn't realize it eventually slipped that far. That's great.
Yeah, it slipped that far. I know, it's nuts. So that felt pretty good. Yippee. I said it twice. That's how good it felt. The next game that came out on March 18th, 33 Immortals, which is this roguelike 33 online players action game. It technically came out in early access, which I just realized. So currently it's unscored. It's on Allison's team. So it'll be up to Allison, if you want to long term keep it on your team or not. But has anyone tried 33 Immortals in early access?
Well, Allison, you first.
Yeah, I actually just played it a bit yesterday. Ooh. On Game Pass. It is so much like Hades. If you like Hades, definitely check it out. Arguably, I like the art style a little bit better. But you can tell it's in early access. The game just kind of dumps you in. Not a lot of direction, but it's really cool. I like it. The one thing I did notice, though, was when playing online, obviously that's the whole point of it, there was not 32 other people. It was like maybe four. Maybe it's just the time I played it, but I don't know. I hope more people get into this.
So I think it's that there are 33 people on a map, but you're not all put in the same area. So you're split into teams of five or six.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So
which is interesting because I do see some preview screens where it looks like there's 33 people in one space. So it does seem disorienting that it's maybe that's a boss level. I don't know. Tim, did you try it too?
Yeah, I've played a little bit. Allison explained it pretty well. It's a lot like Hades. You have to. It's instead of a Greek mythology background, it's basically Dante's Inferno in reverse. Yeah, you're trying to get out of hell, basically. And I think it's a really neat idea. I do agree that it is very much a not finished game. It's got a good concept. And I like that if you try to go it alone, you will fail miserably. So you have to play as part of a team. You have to stick together. I don't think the combat is very good. I don't think the combat is really deep yet. Maybe it gets better if you make a long run. But that to me is the biggest difference between this and Hades, is that Hades, immediately the combat feels good no matter what weapon you're using. It just gets deeper and more interesting the more you play it. So I think it's a really good foundation that they have here. I'm very curious to see what changes they make, what feedback they get. If they're listening to us, to me and Allison, more direction, better combat. We got some things. I do want to shout out, I think this is the same studio that did Spiritfarer. If you guys played that.
I love Spiritfarer. That's a crazy different game.
Yeah, so I appreciate that this is a studio that takes big risks, big swings on cool ideas. I don't remember the name of the studio, forgive me, but...
Thunder Lotus.
Yeah, okay. I think, Allison, you got a big decision to make. I don't know if this is coming out this year or next year in full, but I think if they make some changes, it could do really well.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to them on that process. Another game that took lots of work and finally came out. It is the last official launch that we'll run through before we get into the next section, which is on March 20th, Assassin's Creed Shadows finally came out. It was on Sam's team, came out to an 81, which is higher than the last Assassin's Creeds have been coming out to. I'm personally excited. I've been excited to play this game for a while, just in a big dorky way, not because I'm wow, it's gonna reinvent gaming, but I'm just the two protagonists, they look so cool, I want to be them, oh, it looks sick. But I haven't tried it yet, again just kind of waiting for a less hectic time, and I know that other folks on the site were we're gonna wait till the sale hits. But how are we feeling? Has anyone played it? Does 81 seem right? Any thoughts?
I somewhat regret drafting it.
Somewhat. It's higher than Sid Meier's 7.
Barely. It's here's my problem with this score and why it bothers me so much. It's too high to say it's bad, but not high enough that I feel good about it.
Yeah.
But also the way there are definitely, I've listened to a lot of reviews, read a lot of reviews. This game is either like, it's exactly what you wanted, or it represents all the stuff you don't like about recent Assassin's Creed games. And that, like, so I think that's kind of where it lands on anyone. Like, I keep hearing people say like, oh, it's, I really liked Valhalla, so this kind of was like another version of that, but like a little more streamlined. I'm like, oh man, I hated Valhalla.
Right.
But like I said, Amanda, the characters look really cool. I like the dual nature of it. Of like one, of like I think her name is Nawe, who's more of a classic assassin, and then you have Yasuke, who's kind of just in there to fuck shit up. And I guess I don't know if we're supposed to curse, whatever. who you know, takes on like five guys at once. I don't know. I think it looks interesting, but from what I understand, it's still a Ubisoft game, a Ubisoft open world, big checklist game. So I don't know.
And it might be some of that score depression too. Like I had an Assassin's Creed game on my team a couple of years ago, Mirage. Let me check it. That came out real low.
We said 76, right?
Yeah, 76. Yeah. And people were like talking about what trash that game was. And so I feel like some of what I see people saying about Assassin's Creed Shadows, I'm like, come on, it had to be at least better than 5 points above that. And y'all hated that game. So again, I think it might be some score depression.
Yeah. If I could just say one note on the score thing, because I meant to say it earlier, like, what was the lowest score out of these games? Like the 74 for Lost Records, like that's still a good score, right?
Yeah.
Like,
that's pretty good. That's fine. Yeah.
Like the 79 we said for Blade Chimera, that's in most indications, that's a good to great game. And so it is funny that yes, for our, you know, our listeners, we're going after the big high 80s to 90 plus games, but that by no means precludes you from trying any of these games, because they all seem by indications to offer something for someone, maybe not everyone, but it is cool to see that no one's like completely whiffed on a game, right? Like people, we've been drafting pretty well, I would say, especially when you consider there's six of us and we drafted seven games. So not every game is going to be a 90 plus. Otherwise 2025 would have been the greatest year on record, you know?
Yeah. You know, when I was saying that in most years, you know, that kind of 83, 84, 85 range is the range for good years. This year, that range is like 79, 80, 81. That still means that we all ended up with really good games, you know, and things that people should check out, like with maybe some exception. And even then, you know, something like Lost Records is probably going to bounce up more once we see the ending. Civ 7 is, you know, a Civilization game. You know, I think that some of the issue with Civ 7 was that people would just prefer to play Civ 6, which still means that Civ 7 is a good game if you have never played Civ 6, you know, things like that.
Yeah, for sure. And I appreciate y'all going through all the games with me. I think that's one of the things too that I wanted to highlight, is that for any folks who are listening and invested in our fantasy gaming series, like knowing, hey, this is a wide breadth of games that came out that we, you know, that people like, some of us like personally, and but there's like a really wide range of them too. One notable game that came out that no one drafted, Citizen Sleeper 2 came out at the end of January, landed at an 86 on Metacritic. I reviewed it on the site, absolutely loved it, gave it a 9.5. We don't contribute to Metacritic, but I just wanted to flag it because that was like a really great game and I loved writing a review of it. Additionally, a few more of our drafted games got official release dates, along with a few that have already been announced. So I'm just going to run through these real quick and then we'll get into the league stuff. South of Midnight on my team is coming out April 8th. Blueprints, also on my team, is coming out April 10th. Part 2 of Lost Records, Bloom and Rage on Allison's team, coming out April 15th. Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves on Gary's team is coming out April 21st. Then Clair Obscur, Expedition 33 on Gary's team, slated for April 24th. Doom the Dark Ages on Sam's team got delayed from March until May 15th. Elden Ring Night Rain on my team, slated for May 30th. Death Stranding 2 on the Beach on David's team is slated for June 26. Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater on Zach's. I love the name. Just put more words in there. Let's add more words, then I'll know that's how cool it is.
Somehow not the worst name in that list, because it's Clair Obscur Expedition
33. Yeah. I know. But anyway, Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater is slated for August 28th. And notably, the only person without a scored game so far is David. And actually, the only game on his team right now with a release date at all is Death Stranding 2, which is a perfect transition to the next section, where David will be leading a big discussion of the taxi rules and take us through the current fantasy gaming team standings. Let's get into it.
All right, thanks, Amanda. I am here to give us a league update for Q1 coming out of the first quarter of 2025. How are the teams doing? You've seen now the games. We've walked through each of the games that got scored that are on one of our teams. Now it's time to put the pieces together and see where we landed. As always, something to note, we base our scores based on Metacritic. We do contribute to OpenCritic, but because that's a completely separate ecosystem, we don't influence these scores in any way. That's why we feel comfortable talking about it. Obviously, if we became in the future a Metacritic publication, we'd have to redo how the hell we come up with this. But in any case, thankfully, that's not a problem for today. Another thing that Amanda wanted me to reiterate is that the way that we pull the scores is we defer to the platform that has the most number of critics. So basically, if a game led on PC, which happens most of the time, unless it's like a Sony exclusive or a Microsoft exclusive or a Switch game or a Nintendo game, we'll defer to most likely PC when it has like 80 plus critics, you know, contributing to the score. That's just to make sure that, say, there's a Switch release, but it had four critics on it. And so the score, the variance is so much different. I want to make sure that we're using the biggest sample size. So that's how we come up with the actual scores. And then some things that we were talking before we headed into today's episode, we were talking about the concept of taxis, which for those who are need a refresher, basically we drafted seven games each. Five of them are part of our active roster for this year. And then the additional two are what we call taxi games, which means that they don't score for this year. And they're not, most of us drafted them not intending them. We didn't intend them to be scored. They're more longer plays or maybe indies that have potential to come out this year, like a Hollow Knight Silksong, but we're not quite sure. So they're more like prospects, right? We discussed this a little bit because it's a little bit confusing. So we're deciding to do a little bit of a mid-year audible. And we're going to be changing the way that the taxi functions. So basically, get rid of the word taxi. We're just going to consider this our bench games. So basically, two games on our bench at any given time, and then the other five constitutes our active roster. These five games will now be the games that are scored, super scored at the end of the league, at the end of the year, to determine our final rankings. And so for the eagle-eyed, I guess it's not eagle-eyed, but the people who have the listening of a bat, I don't know what animals listen well.
Owls listen great.
An owl, yeah. Okay. Those who listen owl-eared. Like the owl-eared, the eagle-eared, owl-eared. I don't know. This is why
I like decide. Birds. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Mixed metaphors, all these things.
For our bird listeners out
there. For our bird listeners. We, up until now, had super scored four games. So basically, we're expanding it to five games, but we're giving a little more flexibility in how games can come on and off the bench. Basically, at any time, someone, one of the teams here, anyone could just be like, hey, I'm swapping out a game that I'm not feeling so great about. I'm going to put in someone from the bench, and then that will be your active game. So as long as you do that before the games are scored, you can swap out games at will. And the idea is make sure that you have five games by the end of the year that have scored. That's basically the objective because, trust me, if a game gets delayed or is catastrophically bad, that will tank your chances at fantasy. So the stakes are a little higher, which is exciting for our listeners. But It also means that we have a little more flexibility. And something that we chatted about is with the news of the Switch 2, a lot of buzz going around that Switch 2. Of course, we have a Direct coming in a matter of days, but also heavily rumored that the Switch 2 is going to launch in June, which means that we're going to potentially get some really fresh Nintendo games like a Mario Kart 9 or something, you know, in addition to potentially other titles might be launching in June. So we're going to do probably an emergency waiver wire pickup right after that Nintendo Direct sometime after. And then not to be outdone, we will do a waiver wire pickup in either June or July, a follow-up waiver wire for post non-E3, so post game mess. So basically there are two big times this year where new games will drop, and we want to make sure that we have a chance to look at what's on the board and pick some new things up. So we'll have more to talk about the actual rules, how we order. We're still figuring out some of that, but wanted to make sure listeners are in the know. But the only thing that you need to know going into this next section is that every game matters now if it isn't explicitly considered a bench pick, which is denoted in graphics on the site as green. So green means a little bit of breathing room. If it's a game in white, it means you better hope it comes out and does well. Am I missing anything, Amanda? Anything that we talked about that I didn't get the chance to talk on?
No, I think the only thing is if this is actually just a genuine question coming from me.
Yeah.
If they are on our bench at the end of the year,
yes,
will they still kind of count as like first dibs taxi for next year?
Yes, absolutely. So that's the additional flexibility piece. So at the end of the year, heading into the 2026 season, we will each be able to basically keep up to two games from our anywhere. It doesn't have to be on the bench. It could be, let's say I go all in. I'm like, Hollow Knight Silk Song, I think it's going to come out. I guess it doesn't really matter because I could swap it on my bench whenever I want. But the point is, you can just choose any game. Like as you pointed out, I've got basically all my games could potentially come out this year or they could potentially not come out. So I could be left with a team that's like basically five or six games that all got kicked to 2026 and I'm out of luck. And that's when I punted on the year. And then I'll basically have my choice of any of those games to carry over into 2026. So that goes for everyone. So there's a nice kind of like risk reward, push and pull between, do you want to kind of have a lot of dibs on future games? So that way you might be able to carry them into the next year. Granted, again, you can only pick two. Or do you want to focus more heavily? All seven of my games are going to be games that I know are coming out this year. I know that was kind of the strategy on your end, Zach. You picked a lot of games that are hitting, which I know you were kind of being down on yourself in the previous segment, but I would argue that you're in a better position than I am because your games are out. I mean, you've got some scores on the board, and all it takes is for me to be missing one, to have one goose egg due to a delay, and then I'm kind of cooked. So interesting ways to strategize, interesting ways to go at it. And I'm curious, well, I'm looking forward to talking a little bit more. I've talked a lot. Before we head into the actual standings, how are we feeling just heading into the standings? Hopefully people didn't like crunch the numbers because I want this to have some kind of an element of surprise. I will tease and say it's pretty close with the exception of me not being in there. And the person who's leading the pack is leading by quite a bit. But any thoughts before we head into the standings?
I've never crunched a number in my life if I haven't had to, so no, I have no idea. And I will say I'm excited. I was a big push for scoring all five games. I'm really excited. I think it'll force us to stay really focused on games that are actually coming out this year. I think it'll make it a little spicy. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm just pumped. I'm excited to hear what they are.
Cool. All right. Well, if no one else has thoughts, we will dive right into things. And so I'll pick up exactly where you left off, Amanda, by talking about my team. My team is the only team that has no score because none of my games have come out. I will say I actually didn't catch it until now, but I technically have two games with release dates. But you're right that one game on my active roster, I guess the lines are now blurred because for all intents and purposes, I have two. I have one is Death Stranding 2 On the Beach, comes out in June. But I also have Lost Soul Aside, which comes out May 30th, and that's an action game I'm super pumped about. I think it has a lot of potential to be great. So I might be looking at swapping that out and moving something else to the bench. So I'll have to determine. But as a reminder for listeners, I drafted Ghost of Yotai with my first pick, then Hades 2, then Death Stranding 2, then Deltarune Chapters 3 and 4, and then The Outer Worlds 2. And then my two my two bench picks right now are Hollow Knight Silksong and Lost Soulside. So there's a lot of potential there, a lot of kinetic, a lot of potential energy. Whether it becomes kinetic energy down the line, who knows? I have some decisions to think about, and hopefully the waiver wire gives me some relief. I think my strategy moving forward will definitely be get some games on the board that have some dates, because this is getting a little scary, especially with that these recent rule changes. But enough about me. Let's get into the good stuff. At number five on our standings leaderboard as of end of March, as of end of quarter, we have, oh, sorry. My team is Why Are We Here Just to Suffer, and that definitely encapsulates my view.
100%.
Anyways, yeah. All right, and I'll introduce everyone with their team names now. So number five, team Rip Switch One. We've got Team Allison. Sorry to say Allison, but I still think you're doing great. You're doing absolutely. Everyone's doing great except for me. You had Blade Chimera with a 79. You have Slay the Spire 2, which is unscored because it got a 2025 date. I'm squinting to see my visuals. Moonlighter 2, Discounty, Lost Record, Bloom and Rage, which a reminder, episode 1 at that 74, episode 2 TBD. And then you have 33 Immortals on the bench, out now in early access, and you have Mouse, PI for Hire, also making up the bench. So your average, and I'm averaging the two scores, but keep in mind you essentially have six games because one game has two episodes that we'll average together. Your average currently sits at 76.5. Again, you've got a lot of games yet to come out, but any thoughts about the scores right now, where you sit on the leaderboards before we head to number four?
I'm not feeling great about it. Kind of wish I chose more games with release dates, to be honest.
Oh, I mean, speaking as someone with experience on that matter, not picking games with release dates, I think the fact that we're leaning toward two waiver wire pickup sessions should hopefully help everyone, give some relief. So I'm excited to see what you do in the coming months. But for now, unfortunately, number five. Number four, we have This Team Is an Xbox. Team Sam with an average of 80, so 80.0. You drafted Metroid Prime 4 Beyond, which we recently saw a little more of during the Switch 1 Direct a couple days ago. So I think that's hopefully a lock for this year. You had Civ 7, again, 79. Doom the Dark Ages coming in. I put this down. I had this in March. Sorry, May 6th. Shadows at the 81. You've got Mixtape. I believe that's the Annapurna, another Annapurna joint, right?
Beethoven and Dinosaur, the same folks from
The Artful Escape.
That one, thank you.
Okay.
And is it my brain kept saying The Artful Dodger, and I was like, that's
not published by Annapurna, because I know they published The Artful Escape, right? Yeah. Okay, cool. And then your bench currently consists of Mina the Hollower, another game I'm super psyched about, and then Insomniac's Wolverine. Sam, what are your thoughts? You got two games scored right now, sitting at the 80. Immediate takeaways.
I mentioned before how I feel about these scores. They're not ideal, but not terrible. Metroid Prime 4 trailer the other day just says 2025 again. So that makes me nervous that it might not come out this year. I think the game is going to be good, and I think it's going to review well. But that was not a great trailer. Doom, I think, is going to be pretty good. Mixtape, who knows? I don't know. I did the opposite of you guys, where I picked games I was pretty damn sure were going to come out this year. And as a result, I did not take big swings. And that is reflected in my score right now.
I mean, again, and this is something I didn't say at the top of the section, but when we do get into the waiver wires, we are allowed to drop anything. It's not like, you know, fantasy football where if something's scored, you essentially it counts no matter what.
Oh, I'm aware. I will.
Well, I know you're aware. I'm saying for our listeners. So I know you will take full advantage of that. It almost makes me, yes. So nothing set in stone. That's the beautiful thing. At least you have something to work with. You have some clay, right? I actually think that if I had redone my strategy, I might have gone for more games that were top heavy and then had the chance to kick out for new fresh blood. But in any case, we move on to number three on our standings, and this is where things get pretty interesting. We've got maybe I should do a little more of a suspense here. So this team has an average of 83.0, so 3 points higher than Sam's. they focused primarily on getting some names on the board. And so I'm talking no other than Team Don't F Me, Gary. That's Zach's team. Zach, you drafted Metal Gear Solid Delta, still to come out. We've got Avowed with the 80. We've got Ender Magnolia with the 84. Pokemon Legends Z to A. 2 Point Museum with the 85. GTA 6, still slated for 2025. And then Backyard Baseball, which between you and me, I might be looking to sub that one out, considering I don't think it's actually a game. I think we might have just let you slide with that one. No pun intended. Zach, what are your immediate thoughts on your team, how it's doing so far?
Well, first of all, shout out Backyard Baseball, which did release their 1997 version on mobile for opening day baseball.
There we go.
Absolutely just crushing that this week. Love it. But you're right. I don't know if the actual new version's coming out. Maybe got a little, little sneaky pick in there, but appreciate it. Not bad. You know, I feel okay. Avowed let me down, like we talked about. I wish that would have crept up into the mid-80s, so be looking to replace that if I can. And, you know, GTA 6 is kind of that home run pick, whereas I got a couple solid doubles, Ender Magnolia and 2 Point Museum. Solid doubles, no home runs yet. I think my wild card, we haven't referred to it by its real name, which is MGSDSE, which everyone's calling it that, Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater. I think that's a wild card there. It's not a series I'm super into, but it often gets good ratings. I'm seeing, you know, if it's a remake of a beloved game, could we get into the high 80s? I don't know. Sometimes those things don't work out. So I think that's kind of the one I'm most nervous on. It could really be the one that makes or breaks the team.
Yeah, I have to say, I do think you're in a pretty good spot, Zach. I know, just honestly, getting decent games on the board and then, again, having to play the clay to work with is half the battle. So keep in mind, you've got two really solid scores that could essentially constitute your floor. You've got GTA 6 if the stars align and it comes out. And then you have two other games that could score very well in the mid to high 80s, if not higher. So I'm excited to see what you do in the coming drafts. But we move on to number two on our standings. This person beat you out by 1 point. So 84.0. And this is Team Gary. This is Gary's Glorious Games. And Gary, you, of course, had Monster Hunter Wilds with the 89. You had like a Dragon, whatever, the Hawaii game. I'm just squinting at this point. I can't read titles. 79. So that averages out to the 84, you see. And then, of course, you've got some big games coming up in April with Clair Obscur and Fatal Fury. You've got Replaced as a 2025 title. Marvel 1943 as another 2025 title. And then, of course, notably, Fable got pushed to 2026. So I'm curious with you, what's the strategy heading into the rest of the year? How are you feeling about Fable? You can choose to be truthful or lie, but do you feel like that's something that you're going to stick it out and hold? Or are you, I don't know, what's going through your mind with the current team makeup?
Speaking, you know, kind of specifically about the starting lineup right now, you know, mm-hmm. I feel good, but different than I felt, you know, kind of at the end of the draft. I had taken Clair Obscur as my big kind of swingy game. You know, that one is a game I expected to come in mid 70s at worst and maybe up into the 90s at best. And that also was going to be my waiver wire drop game. Now with Yakuza Pirate Life in Hawaii coming in the way it was, that has kind of changed things up. But with the current press around Clair Obscur, I'm actually feeling significantly more confident in that game being on the higher end than I expected. I'm a little worried about Replaced, still not having a date, but I think that will inevitably come out this year. And Fatal Fury is just for me. So when it comes to Fable, I'm not sure. The things they showed about Fable when they also announced the delay weren't bad, but they weren't exciting. So I don't think that it is crazy to say to hold it and say, okay, great, you know, we're going to keep this into 2026. But it's also not crazy to let it go and just assume that I can redraft it next year. So I'm still kind of caught in the fence with that one.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I'm again, excited to see how you choose to play that. But it seems like your team is off to the races. But the main attraction here, number one, not to be outdone by any margin, we've got Team Amanda. Oops, I did it again. If that's in terms of leading the pack, then yeah, you did do it again, Amanda, because you've got an average of 91. Granted, you've drafted the one game that's hit, but it's a big hit. Split Fiction, again, still can't believe that was not your first pick. Your other games were Elden Ring Night Rain, which comes out in May. South of Midnight comes out in April. Blueprints, an indie game that you and I are both excited for, coming out in April. Mafia: The Old Country comes out in the summer. And then on your bench is Witcher 4, TBD, could be a long ways out. And then I noticed we didn't talk about, I realized after the fact, we didn't talk about Hyper Light Breaker.
Probably because I was trying to force myself to forget it.
We're not, I will say this. So this game came out in early access in January. I gave it a try because they did a massive discount, which I realized was not a price error. I think it was intentional. They dropped the price to $6, played it for about 20 minutes and was bored to tears. And immediately uninstalled it from my Steam Deck. Like, it was beyond bad.
It's not good.
Word of advice, Amanda, get that game off your.
I know. That's probably why I like it. Dropped in early access January 14th. Yeah. I just pulled it up on Steam. It shows mixed. You know, it's like a 3-star or lower. IGN gave it a 4 out of 10. So
yeah,
I think I was like, it's dead to me. Why would I talk about it?
But walk me through it, Amanda, because your team looks very well positioned. Cool. But I mean, then again, you've got an excellent game on the board. But then you also have three games with dates within the next 2 months. So you have a lot. I mean, not only that, before this Nintendo waiver wire, you're going to see scores for South of Midnight and Blueprints show up. You'll probably have a chance maybe with Night Rain to see how that shakes. And even if you don't, you're going to have a chance to see before the second waiver wire pickup. And depending on when Mafia comes out, you might have your like core lineup and able to just play the waiver wire game and make incremental kind of adjustments. But yeah, what's going through your mind?
Yeah, thank you. It made me feel really good about myself, so I appreciate it. I think I said I named my team "Oops, I Did It Again" because I once again like failed to properly prepare for the draft every year, where I just like don't really do enough research and just kind of like pull it together within, you know, usually on the call, despite knowing better. But I think one thing that I did say, my strategy in this year's draft was I'd like to win this year. I'd like to win. And so I think I've just tried to pick things. One of the things that I've noticed from past years that's worked well is that Sam and David, which is interesting, David, that you have a team of a lot of things that's not coming out, is Sam especially like tends to hedge on drafting things with actual release dates, and like then you at least have information, whereas that's something I haven't done in the past. So I try to do that, and I think I also try to take a little bit of knowledge from you guys, which is like, let's pick the games that you would want to play, like, and then if nothing else, you're excited for it. So yeah, I'm feeling excited. I thought Split Fiction would do mid 80s. I didn't think it would do 91, so I'm very happy for that. And I didn't think Hyper Light Breaker. I also realized I was mixing it up. On the draft, I said that there was somebody that I knew people who like loved the first one, Hyper Light Drifter. But I was mixing it up with, where you're building a spaceship all the time. Faster Than Light, yeah.
Fairness, people do like Hyper Light.
I like Hyper Light Drifter, Yeah, it's okay. I know. We're even missing.
Don't worry. I'm one of the people who loves Hyper Light Drifter. That game is amazing.
Great to know. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm feeling nice. This may be the only time I'm in the lead this year, but I'll enjoy it while I got it. So,
yeah.
I do want to note, I'm pretty sure CD Projekt had an earnings call last week or two.
Okay.
And they said that The Witcher 4... The quote I saw was, "This game is likely not going to be out in 2026, which means either it's coming out this year, which it won't, or we're a couple years away from that one.
Yeah,
minimum.
So like, you could keep it in your taxi, but like, you wouldn't have to keep it for like 2 years. You know what I mean? Like, you have to keep it there for a while.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the nice thing, again, the way that you're positioned, Amanda, is you're going to have a lot of information. I think information is like half the game when it comes to going into waiver wires, because like I am playing it like fast and loose with the game. I think a lot of my games will get dates, but the issue is it'll be too late for me to like act on that information. Potentially they could be fall releases. You know what I mean? Whereas you're going to have like a very clear picture of what's happening going into the second half of the year, and you could keep Witcher 4 on your bench, essentially, you drop Breaker, and then you drop maybe one of the other games that aren't doing too hot. You know what I mean?
Virtual numbers. Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting, too, because, like, every now and then, David, I think about, because you picked up two games that I had last year that I refused to pick up again this year, which was Hades 2 and Hollow Knight Silksong. And every now and then I'm like, I made a mistake. I should have gone for those. And so in this moment, at least, and you, that may still be correct. But in this exact moment, I'm like, aha, I have a score, which after my Hollow Knight Silksong, I mean, did I draft it the first year too?
Yep.
I can't. Oh my God. So literally had that shit on my team for 2 years and was just like suffering. So it's
well, that's why I'm giving you this heads up on Witcher. Like I
thank you. I appreciate it.
You don't have to suffer. You don't have to suffer all the time.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
You don't have to do that.
Thank you. Let me just call my therapist and tell her that you said that. Cause that was actually some like really good feedback that I don't have to suffer all the time. I could just like choose to live differently. Which is great. I think I'm going to,
Live Moss if you want.
I live Moss. I'd love to live Moss. Yeah.
Goodness.
Nice.
Well, any final thoughts on just the shakeup? Any surprises with the current leaderboard? Any new strategies that you want to disclose for the betterment of others before we head into our outro?
I will just say, suck it, Zach, who has the bum, the butt team now.
Come on, Gary. There's plenty of season left here. You be on the lookout of that waiver wire.
In the NBA, we talk a lot. I know there's a lot of coverage on like storylines. This is the storyline out of this year's fantasy draft and league that has been very interesting to me. Has been the shit talking between Gary and Zach has been unprecedented.
You get to make a trade. That's everyone's waiting. Just once we open trades up and waiver picks and all that, that's when it's going to get spicy.
I mean, the wit behind Zach's insults enough is an incredible story.
Truly next level.
Yeah.
A lot of butts going on here.
The thesaurus.
This episode has been butts and balls.
Yeah. Butts and balls.
I forgot we opened with this.
I know. I was like, am I going to have to cut this entire episode?
No, I think you just let it rip, Amanda.
I think I'm just going to let it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We could say whatever the hell we want.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell we want.
You can't just change the rules because you don't like what somebody says.
I'm not trying to have anyone have the worst day at their jobs.
This is the best group possible. Okay. I'll keep us moving. Thanks for the opportunity to guest host this middle section, and then we'll kick it back over to Amanda shortly for our outro.
So to close out our episode, we love checking in with this question. What are you playing right now that you're enjoying or maybe not enjoying? I'm playing Promise Mascot Agency for a review. Second game from Kaizen Gameworks. They had previously done Paradise Killer. So my review is upcoming, but I'm really enjoying it. I'm excited to write more about it.
Not all at once.
I can go.
Anyone else playing anything?
Zach.
So I feel like I had been in a rut this year. I don't know. Everything I picked up was just not clicking with me, and I've always been a Switch loyalist. I feel like I've been running out of steam. I guess no pun intended there. So I dusted off the PS4 that's been sitting at my parents' house for a long time. I booted up Spider-Man, Witcher 3, and then last night I got into Jedi Fallen Order and stayed.
Nice. All games very easy to finish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. but I tell you what, I'm back. Last night I was up till like 3-4 in the morning, just swinging my lightsaber around. That was what I needed. I'm so back. And I'm excited to get some recommendations on what I've been missing on the PS4 from this group.
Yeah, I've been poking away at Bleach Rebirth of Souls, the new fighting-esque game set in the Bleach universe. It's fun. It's good. I'm enjoying it. I don't think it has the depth to last long as a long-term competitive fighting game, but it's a lot of fun to play.
I want to make sure I say this game exactly the way that Nintendo would describe it. I am playing the Xenoblade Chronicles X Definitive Edition game for the Nintendo Switch family of systems.
Let's go.
I have never played a Xenoblade game. It's been like this one Nintendo, like there's very few of these of like Nintendo franchises that I just have no familiarity with at all. And I on a whim, that it's a port of a 2015 Wii U game. And I, if you know me, I was one of the apologists for the Wii U. I really liked that system, but I didn't play this one back then, and I'm trying it now on Switch. It's good. It's got a lot more friction than I expected. It's a big open world sci-fi game, sci-fi RPG. I'm enjoying the combat more than I expected. It's kind of like a World of Warcraft sort of like auto battle system. Kind of like, oh, and or like Final Fantasy 12. It's kind of like that too. It's one of those games, I'm kind of writing about this for a future Punish Notes, which may or may not be out by the time you hear this, but it's one of those games where I'm like, it's pretty good so far, but I can tell it like gets really good later. And not just when I get the mechs, but once I like have a better understanding of how everything works and how the world, how I'm supposed to move in the world and find a good groove. So yeah, I'm having fun with that.
I am playing a game that Queen Amanda drafted.
Whee!
Split Fiction. I just started it yesterday. I'm like 45 minutes in, and it's pretty fun. It's,
yay.
I mean, it's pretty intense from the beginning, but the controls are super slick. I really like that. And I think I'm liking the story. I'm not far enough to really know, but so far so good.
And on my side, I am finishing up a playthrough of a game called Your House for Review, which is kind of a noir-inspired mystery game. I'll have more thoughts on it shortly. Pretty good, just really kind of hard at times. Didn't expect to get cooked on the puzzle side. And, of course, playing through Lost Records as well for review. And then I did purchase Xenoblade X, Sam. I want to play the devil's advocate in terms of why I think it's one of the greatest RPGs ever conceived. You said right there.
I didn't say it was bad.
I know you said it was good, which I took exception with because
should we get you a podium and a pulpit?
Yeah. No, I was like, if you're going to say, what do we think of, you know, Xenoblade Chronicles X so far article? I am there, Sam. I'm just saying, fantastic game on the Wii U. The music from Hiroyuki Sawano, for those who are anime fans, he did the soundtrack to Attack on Titan. Great soundtrack for Xenoblade Chronicles X. I'm not a big Xenoblade Chronicles fan, but X is like, if you play one game, I'd say skip the others, even if they have good stories, and play this one. This one has the shittiest story. It's nonsensical. It's bad. The characters are bad. Everything about the game is bad. But that combat, and once you get the mech, Sam, I promise
everything
you,
about the game's bad.
Everything about the game is bad except for the world and the combat and the mechs and the music, which is like actually more like 80% of the game. So the game is actually fantastic.
I do want to say this. Like, the story is, it's whatever, it's fine. But like the concept, like narratively outside of the actual plot, is, I really like it. Like, you're basically like rebuilding humanity on this planet. And like trying to find the remains of your ship. Like, it's that kind of stuff that I think is really cool. The actual like plot and writing is pretty bad though.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. Enjoy. Excited to get to try it out on Switch.
Well, that's awesome, y'all. I know that we are excited to see what the news about the Switch 2 will be in the Switch Direct. So coming soon, I'm sure a waiver wire in May probably, and then likely another one at the end of the summer after Summer Game Fest. And then we've also got other topics coming up. I think David's going to be hosting one about difficulty in video games. So this is super fun. Excited to be on the top briefly. I'll enjoy it for now, and excited to see how the season fans out. So thanks for joining, and happy gaming.
Hey there, listeners. It's Amanda from the future. Jumping back in to make a couple quick notes. First, the Nintendo Switch Direct was very exciting on April 2nd. We highlighted all of our biggest like updates that we saw and also our emotional reactions to the Direct on our site, punishbacklog.com. And the other news is that some more games have come out since we recorded this. And so that means new changes, new updates to the rankings of our team. Check back on the site on Friday, April 11th. David's going to write up a fantasy gaming report where he's going to crunch all the details. We are also likely going to do a waiver wire draft that's Switch inspired. We may or may not do a recording of that. But at any time, if you want to see what's new with the fantasy gaming team and, you know, hear all our, you know, virtual debates, you can go to punishbacklog.com. Then if you look under, I think the menu is blog, you can drop down to fantasy gaming and see what's new. David has promised to do some more updates, so more content to come, and thank you for listening.